The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Tuesday, and welcome to the program. I hope you had a good day today. It will be another day tomorrow, so if you didn't, good luck tomorrow. It's a tough world out there. It's not easy. It's getting harder all the time. There were many people who were asking, well, what's Obama going to do his last 3 years in office? He's a lame duck. He won't be able to get much done. The Congress won't help him. Well, 3 weeks ago yesterday, he told us what he was going to do. Or was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago. He said, basically, who needs Congress? I'm not going to be bound or held up by congressional legislation that doesn't come down when I want it to come down. I've got a pen. I've got a phone. You remember the story. He essentially declared himself dictator. I will rule by decree. That's a dictatorial statement. So we have in this country never ever faced a situation like this before. What are we going to do about it? I don't have the answer. George Filer joins us tonight. George, of course, is with us once a month. He is the Mutual UFO Network's Eastern Director. He is a wonderful American patriot, an Air Force veteran who has seen him and chased him in the air. He knows what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is this week's edition, and actually two editions, of Filer's Files, George's wonderful newsletter about UFOs and ETs, which comes out once a week. And you can certainly get a free copy. All you have to do is message George, send him an email at Major, M-A-J-O-R, Major Star, S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net, and ask for one. Tell him you heard him here and you'd like to get a free edition of Filer's Files, and he'll send one every week for you. Sign you right up. And they're wonderful. Hello, George. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. So you're an American of long standing, true patriot, serviceman. How do you look at this political situation here? We got the man who literally has announced that he will be acting in a unilateral dictatorial fashion. How does that make you feel as a military veteran, Major U.S. Air Force?
Well, not very good, frankly. But I'm hoping that he and Congress can come to some kind of agreements to rule together, which is, of course, what the Constitution claims that we should be doing. I don't know how much he can actually do by himself, frankly, because Congress really holds the money.
Correct.
And
Well, that's, now wait, that used to be true, but executive orders which are patently unconstitutional allow for the expenditures called therein, within the executive order, to be made. So he can order the movement of monies, he can order programs funded, he can do a lot of things. So what we have here is a man who is completely running amok, who is literally out of control in terms of the Constitution. We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of this government. We're supposed to have a three-part government. We don't. It's completely out of balance. He is mocking the Constitution. We know that. The media, controlled and operated by the globalist corporatocracy, which is running the big show, is actually the fourth branch of government. The Congress is useless. They are full of themselves. The Congress is full of people who have been bought and sold and compromised by AIPAC and other. AIPAC is the most powerful lobby that has ever been involved in this country. But there are other organizations and groups as well. I don't know what we can do about this. We can't go to the ballot box. It's a long process. It takes time. And we certainly, all of us in this audience, know all about vote fraud, which is obviously rampant. You don't even get to run for Congress unless you pass AIPAC's muster. Unless they approve of you, you get no money, you won't get the nomination, you're not going to win. It's real simple. This country has been so taken by Zionist Israel, it's not funny. Remember the quotes from the Israeli leadership. Ariel Sharon, who was just finally put to rest after being stroked out because he didn't go along with the plans of war with Iran, said, make no mistake about it, we control the United States. And he said that, 7-8 years ago now, something like that. He wasn't joking. That argument can be made, and it can be made to stick. Anyway, I just wanted to run that by you and see how you felt as a veteran, what your veteran friends are saying about this. They can't be happy either.
No, I pick up that the average person, whether he's ex-military or not, isn't too happy about it. And I guess everybody hopes for the best.
Well, we can't sit around, really, on our wallets hoping. We have to do, and if it requires tens of millions of Americans to go on the streets and bring the country to a complete halt and shut it down, then so be it. I don't think for a moment Americans have it in them to do that anymore, but that would be one approach. I don't know what else to suggest. Do you know in the last election, George, as corrupt and crooked and evil as most of the Congress is, the American sheep returned 96% of those crooks and criminals back for another two-year term. Not good. Not good.
No, it's maybe the internet will create some interest in people.
See, here we are, and logically, talking about the internet. You know, what you're saying is logical, but it ain't going to happen. The point of no return really came and passed years ago. Nobody noticed it because they were too interested in the media, watching their ball team play a game, having a good time, trying to get by, living under the thumb of a Zionist international bankster usury interest. The average credit card debt per household is over $25,000. People are already in concentration camps. The concentration camps are called, in my view, I call them camp usury. Every home has debt, practically. That's a camp. You are locked into that debt, you may as well be in a camp. It's not a good situation. All right, let's stop with the political stuff and get on to the business at hand, which is this week's issue of Filer's Files. And if you go to the top of the guests at rents.com, we always try to keep it simple for you, you'll find George Filer right there. And look at the top of headlines in the right-hand column, and you'll see the most current edition of Filer's Files. We got, I think James put three of them up. George always tricks me and puts the new one out on Wednesdays. He's on. Maybe we should switch you to Wednesdays.
Well, usually doesn't come out to Thursday or Friday, frankly.
Slacking off again, huh, George?
Yeah. Well, actually, I write it, but I send it to my webmaster. And
yeah, I understand.
Others, but it takes a while to get out, you know.
Well, we have Filer's Files number 3, number 4, and week number 5 up there for you. And let's start out with number 5. What do you say? Got a great memo there from a General Nathan Twining, which really tells the story. And I don't think that many of you out there would dispute for a minute that this planet has a lot of very strange things flying around in the skies. Some of them are ours, some of them are theirs, in all likelihood. And just because the government doesn't tell me, don't worry, Jeff, they're real. I'm not going to change my mind. I know what's going on out there. I've talked to, like you have, George, thousands of people from all walks of life who have seen things that shouldn't be there. Very strange things. All right, we'll be right back with George, and we'll look at Filer's Files number 5. So go ahead and load that up from headlines, and we'll be right with you in just a couple. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to George, Gentleman George Filer, Filer's Files number 5. Hope you've got it pulled up there. The headline is General Nathan Twining's memo, UFOs are real. Tell us more, George.
Well, first of all, I'd like to explain to people out there who General Twining was. He was the head of the Air Materiel Command as a 3-star general. And the Air Materiel Command is, I say, the technological aspect of the Air Force at that time. And, for example, at the end of World War II, all the German aircraft were brought to Wright-Patterson and evaluated by the Air Materiel Command. And as we got into, you know, the Soviet, I don't know if you'd call it a war, but the disagreement with the Soviets, which almost led to World War.
Well, if you, call it the Cold
War. Yeah,
it's called the Cold War.
Right, the Cold War. They were brought to their material command to evaluate them. Well, in 1947, most people have heard of the Roswell crash of
sure.
the UFO.
Yeah.
And General Twining was command and evaluated the craft after it crashed. Now, the important thing is after this, he became the Air Force Chief of Staff, in other words, the highest rated officer in the Air Force from 1953 to 1957. And then later Eisenhower named him as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he was the chairman, the top rated officer in the country, in the military, from 57 to 61. And I think it's important that you know who he is before you know what he had to say.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's he basically said UFOs are real. And And he wrote a memo to the head of the Air Force Intelligence telling them that his scientific people had, somebody wanted to analyze the craft that they recovered and had come to the conclusion that not only were UFOs real, but they appeared to have come from somewhere else in the universe, another planet. In other words,
or the galaxy, sure. In other words, they were from out there, right?
Not German, they were not Soviet, they were not, you know, other countries, as far as they knew.
And it wasn't Billy Barty's cousins who were at the controls of some experimental craft either.
Right.
And there was a little humor, George. You're supposed to laugh.
Right. The point being is at the highest level, from a top Air Force, top military man, he's telling his boss at the time, he was 3 stars when he's writing this, and later on became 4 stars in the highest position in the military, and he's saying UFOs are real. And I think we can take his word for it, that they certainly are. He says this is a phenomenon that is something real and not visionary or fictitious. There are objects approximating the shape of a disc such appreciable size as to appear to be as large as man-made aircraft. There is the possibility that some of the incidents may be caused by natural phenomena, which we know. There's certainly a possibility that people see something that, you know, is a meteor or a lightning or something else. But the point is that a large number of craft were being seen by Air Force personnel, chased and the like, taking pictures of, et cetera, actually even crashed. And wreckage picked up and taken and examined. In any case, must be considered that they conduct evasive maneuvers, particularly in roll and motion, which must be considered evasive when sighted or contacted by friendly aircraft and radar. My personal experience was that ground radar picked up the UFO, and we were directed to the position of the UFO, and we picked it up something like 30 miles out on our radar and had a very large return, actually roughly the size of any large bridge, you know, like the Brooklyn Bridge or San Francisco Bay Bridge. It was a huge radar return, and we could see the object out in the distance there. And the smaller craft that they're talking about, the discs, come out of these large motherships. And they are seen fairly regularly, more so than public realizes. And I might point out that just this month, we've already, in January, we had something like 1,750 reports from the public stating that they had seen these craft and had spent about a half an hour each, you know, putting it into the computer that they had these sightings. Point is that there's something out there that's very real. We're not exactly sure what it's doing, but I'm sure people at the highest level still know that they're out there and they're still following
them. It's one of, George, if I might, excuse me, it's one of the worst kept secrets on the planet. I don't need the U.S. government full of criminals, cronies, phonies, gangsters to tell me what's real and what isn't. You and I and our listeners know, and God only knows how many hundreds of thousands of eyewitnesses know, that there's something very strange going on here. And it is not all explained away by advanced human technology, not by any possible measure. There are far too many different kinds of craft, too many shapes, too many different events. We've seen too many on the ground. We've seen strange humanoid creatures. By the tens of thousands, these reports come in. So to say that there's nothing else in the universe that's intelligent enough to figure out a new kind of physics to be able to transit large distances is very naive and frankly stupid. But that's the way it is. And how many times have we had people on the program over the years who never believed in the possibility of us being visited? and saw something that they knew could not be from this planet. How many times? Countless times. And they're life-changing experiences.
And, well, I get calls from people almost every day having seen those kind of things and seeing the objects in the air and probably doing other things as well. We have a lot of people that talk to us about abductions, you know, cattle mutilations. That something very important is going on.
Yeah. All right, well, what about trace cases, George? Trace cases where a craft, an object, a machine under intelligent control, either a drone or actually occupied, has come down to Earth or very near it and has left visible, physical, hard evidence that would stand up in court, whether it be radioactive, yes, glowing, broken branches, holes in the ground, doesn't matter. We have, I believe, that Ted Phillips has collected over 8,000 trace cases now, going back to the work of J. Allen Hynek. So the evidence is all there. If this were put into a court of law, a real court of law, not a phony one, the verdict would be rather quick and totally conclusive. We are not alone. We are being visited. And that's fine. If our visitors wanted to harm us, we'd have been toast a long time ago. So, all right, hold on, George, if you would, please. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're along tonight, dear friends, in this crazy world of ours. And we'll try and make sense of it, as we always do, as we continue. Okay, we are back with George Filer, who is with us the first Tuesday of each month, and that it is tonight, the 4th of February, the year 2014. And as I've said before, if you liked 2013, you're going to love 2014, because the fertilizer is going to hit the fan this year. It's going to be very difficult. Okay, my friend, where are we?
Well, we were talking about General Nathan Twining and the fact that he declared in Air Force documents that UFOs are real and reported that to the higher headquarters. And then later he was promoted to chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which would indicate that what he said was believed. Mm-hmm. The UFOs were real and not visionary or fictitious. And there's other things going on as well, of course, the large numbers of sightings.
You know who else knew? General Forrestal. He knew.
Yes.
They threw him out of the...
Alan Cotter.
Sure. Alan Cotter. Yeah. They threw him out. They threw Forrestal out of the Bethesda Hospital, killed him. It just goes on and on. This is, again, the worst...
One of my distant relatives, Admiral Byrd, declared that there was UFOs that could fly, you know, thousands of miles and so on.
Sure. Every indication is that we have had a parallel space program for many decades, that we have craft in orbit right now. That's what the English hacker Gary McKinnon found when he hacked into the Pentagon with his telephone on a dial-up. He found that file. He was looking for proof of UFOs and ETs, and he found the Navy file of all of those ships, naval ships, and their commanding officers, and when there would be a commanding officer change, he would find it was all noted. Unfortunately, none of these ships were findable anywhere else. They weren't in the ocean. They weren't in dry dock. They weren't on the drawing boards. They existed. Where are these U.S. Navy ships? They're up there. In orbit and transiting between here and the moon, here and Mars. The whole space shuttle program was a canard. It was a misdirection. All and every shuttle mission was military. They would take satellites up, part of NASA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, all of it, all put into orbit with space shuttle missions. That's what it was. It was all essentially a lie. We have abilities decades ahead of what the average American would ever begin to understand. And I believe that, and I tell you that after 30 years in professional journalism, 20 years of doing this program, talking to God only knows how many people. And that is my honest conclusion, and I would defy anyone to prove me wrong. George?
Well, astronomers are picking up objects in space, and I've talked to many people who have seen, you know, objects, probably spaceships of some kind that are not the ISS, that are not the shuttle, that are up there flying around, that they exist. And frankly, any person who wants to take the time and can telescope or a good pair of binoculars and look for them and find them themselves. There's obviously craft going around the Earth that likely belong to us or combination of Russians and so on. People kind of forget that President Reagan and Khrushchev talked about joining together to fight any incoming alien sources. Although it appears that at least some of the aliens are our friends, others may have their own interests more at heart than our own. And are likely, you know, mining the oceans, doing that kind of thing, coming here on a regular basis, probably looking for some of our DNA, taking the best of us, et cetera. There's a lot going on that is not generally revealed to the public.
Well, where do we go from here, George? Really?
Well, I think, like, we don't know for certain, at least I don't know, if the aliens are our enemy or our friends. I like to think that they're our friends. They certainly haven't destroyed our planet. As a matter of fact, when abductees and talk to the aliens, they indicate that we're destroying the planet, the humans are, that we're not taking care of things. And obviously Fukushima and other environmental problems are building up, and it's becoming very serious. I don't know if it's going to be solved or not. Hopefully they are willing to help us.
How would they help us, George? What do you think?
Well, I am told, I don't know, I think you know Ingo Swann, for example, who was a remote viewer for the government and trained many of the
I know
viewers.
Ingo. You knew him. I knew him. He was on the program many times. A remarkable man. And yes, of course, Ingo Swann, a name that really will be never forgotten. Our greatest remote viewer, the man who really opened the door to the whole field of PK and RI, remote influencing. He was able to change the temperature in a sealed container. I think the distance was a quarter of a mile, and the container was buried in 3 feet of earth. So just an extraordinary man. Go ahead.
Well, he told me that they were remote viewing off of South Africa, and there was some kind of a nuclear explosion believed to be under the sea, and that
forget the break time.
According to him, the they could see not only what caused the explosion, but what he felt was alien craft, and they helped clean up the radiation and so on. At least that's what they were seeing. And he was also seeing aliens on the moon, remote viewing.
He's not the only one.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, viewers have seen life on Mars. They've seen life on the moon as well, several of them. So, yeah, and if you know anything at all about remote viewing, you understand that they're given a set of numbers, and that's all. They're not given, there's no front-loading in their minds. They're not told what to look for, not told what the task is. They just get a set of numbers, and they go to it.
Five or six men all given these coordinates, basically.
Yeah, I'm keeping it simple, but they're going into it blind.
The point is that they
Ingo saw
majority or all of them see certain things and they report back.
Correct. So Ingo saw ET involvement in an explosion off South Africa. Well, don't know about the ET part, but in all likelihood, the Israelis and the South Africans worked together on their nuclear program, and there were some tests conducted by South Africa with Israeli technicians. At least that's the general word.
Well, the idea was that, as far as he was concerned, they were helpful in cleaning up the radiation. Now, whether that his assessment of the situation was correct, I don't know. But there's been other indications through the years. I know a number of people who claim to have been healed by the aliens. And in fact, I got an email yesterday that a lady who claimed that she had cancer, that they had come to her, essentially during an abduction, and had put their hands on her, and at least as far as she was concerned, was being healed of cancer. And I've had other similar stories. Not just one or two, but dozens, really. Now, whether it's kind of hard to prove, obviously, but in some cases they even have doctors' reports, claiming that they have cancer, and then that later on it's gone. Whether it's factual or not, I believe what people tell, as long as it makes sense,
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's an indication that at least many of the aliens are here to help us. I'm not sure all have a best interest in mind, but the indication that we have a task force in space there must be doing something, possibly trying to keep at least some of the alien groups aware.
Well, there are several of them out there, friend, foe, and neutral, apparently. We have all different kinds. It is also suggested that there is involvement at the highest levels of the human control grid on this planet, i.e. the International Bankster Cartel in the city of London. That's possible. No proof, just speculation. But we do know there's something going on at the very highest levels that does not reflect the common values and decency and morals that humans are born with. We're all born basically with instincts, right and wrong, whatever. And by the time our young people are put through the media grist mill, and they're teenagers now, they're pretty well trashed. So, we'll see.
Well, there seems to be an awful lot of greed out there.
Greed is unlimited. Greed is propelling, of course, the evil on the planet, and you're correct. Look at the icons and the role models that our young people have today. Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, who openly has admitted that she sold her soul to Satan in exchange for celebrity and notoriety. So there you go.
Satan seems to be alive and well, even though nobody talks about it.
Yeah. Okay, in this edition of Filer's Files, number 5, if you folks want to pull that up and scroll down, you'll notice that each week George has a special featured story like the one we're talking about with General Twining. And there's a picture here that September 23rd, 1947. What is this picture about? Is that a legitimate picture? Do you know?
Well, actually, it's a representation of my favorite craft.
Okay.
I'm not sure anybody knows for certain exactly what they look like. But, basically a disc that they discuss is what's usually seen. Like two plates put together, that kind of thing, often with a dome on top. Sometimes the dome is there, sometimes it's not. But that's a fairly classical UFO shape and representation of it, you know, captured in a hangar. Probably at Wright-Patterson, that's the place where a lot were bought through the years. Matter of fact, I've talked to several people who claim that they saw them there. I unfortunately never had the opportunity, but believe the group that said that they saw them there. And there's been quite a few people through the years that have claimed to have seen them.
Indeed, there have. All right, scrolling down, I want to kind of give people a quick overview of at least one edition of Filer's Files. And again, you can get this free. Just contact George at majorstar@verizon.net and ask to be subscribed, or even just have one sample edition sent, whatever you want. How many now, George? 13,000 subscribers?
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, we've pushed it a long way on this program.
But it's on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and a dozen or so websites and our own nationalufocenter.com that people can see, you know, back issues, that kind of thing. And we're getting a lot of good pictures. You know, people carry around their phones with cameras today and often get pictures, and you can look and decide for yourself what they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, scrolling on down, California Boomerang. Now, let me get this on the table real quick. A lot of the things that people see are man-made, and a lot of them are pranks. A lot of them are remote-controlled aircraft at night with lights. There's a lot of that. There are Chinese lanterns. But those are a relatively small portion of the overall number of sightings of things that are seen. California Boomerang is a daylight series of 3. Now, below that is an alleged spacecraft filmed. What is that about?
Well, it's one of those things that, I question, but I feel that public should see it and kind of make up their own mind. And the story behind this is that astronomers, you know, looking out with their telescopes, have seen this particular object way out in space, and they claim it's real, allegedly from the meteorite environmental office that is essentially looking for meteorites that might, you know, hit the Earth eventually.
Uh-huh.
And that the Turner Radio Network sent this to me, and they claim that they also lost track of it, and they think it ended up on the moon, but I wasn't very...
Now, keep in mind that the Turner Radio Network is not Ted Turner. It has nothing to do with CNN. It's Hal Turner's radio network. Hal Turner, apparently an FBI agent, was quite a controversial figure on the internet for several years. inciting, according to some, race hatred and all that. Said some pretty outrageous things. This is the relic of his Turner Radio Network, TRN, and it has been putting out some rather sensational stories of late, which is kind of suspicious in and of itself, because there's so much disinformation on the internet, and good disinformation, remember, is 90-95% reality, 5-10% falsehood. That's how they do it. I'm not saying anything about Turner Radio Network being involved with that particular practice, but I'm asking all of you to be very careful before you embrace things that seem to be too good or too fascinating to be true. And that goes with anything, any source. Just be careful.
Right. That's why I put, I have no confirmation for this story.
Right.
From any other observatories or astronomers.
Correct. And when you when you come up with that, when there's no other corroboration, you've got to say, well, okay, we'll put it in the gray basket, as Stan Friedman always says, and just leave it.
Right.
And with Photoshop and the digital, we are now initially in the age of digital manipulation, so anything is possible. And we have all seen fabulous live footage, so to speak, of UFOs. And they're just not real. They're digital, they're Photoshopped, and all the rest of it.
Well, I put in some things that I question, and but I try to tell people, you know, that we're not sure as well. And there's below that is about 10 facts about meteors, which do come in on a regular basis, not more than people realize, literally thousands of them, but most of them are tiny specks. But in any case, they are hitting Earth on a regular basis and probably brought life from space. So they are significant. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm way down in Key West, Florida.
Yeah, you snowbird. I know what you do.
And yesterday I was at the Dolphin Research Center, and this is a little bit out of line with UFOs, but there does seem to be some connection between dolphins and UFOs, and et cetera. At least recently, they've come up with a completely new species of dolphin, and the biologists are somewhat, you know, surprised by all this, because normally one species does not make another species. And so they're wondering, what I'm wondering, frankly, is if our ET friends have something to do with it, because they seem to be messing with our DNA and DNA of other species as well.
Well, you're right. As, the story says the climene, climene dolphin is something of a biological riddle. Though these animals were first declared their own species by the American Society of Mammalogists in 1981, they were originally thought to be a subspecies. DNA analysis has solved the puzzle, conclusively stating that the climene dolphins are a distinct species. As far as ET coming down here and tweaking our DNA, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that has happened throughout the millennia. And as far as I'm concerned, they're welcome to come down anytime and tweak it to the next level. I'm getting really sick of this whole thing and watching humans, the so-called sentient caretaker species, I guess people call them, of this planet, continue to desecrate everything about it. It's insanity. It's as if there's some kind of a collective suicidal drive that is a genetic issue in humanity. And so let's get it fixed. Calling ET.
One interesting thing is at the Dolphin Research Center yesterday, and they have dolphins painting with a paintbrush held in their mouth.
Yeah. They're wonderful animals.
Not only that, is they blindfold the dolphin and get in the water with him and do maneuvers. In other words, the trainers do maneuvers, and dolphins are blind. In other words, they can't see anything, obviously. And the dolphins repeat what the trainers are doing in the water, even though they can't see them. Apparently they feel it or are telepathic, or they're not even sure how they can duplicate what the trainer is doing, because they can't see what the trainer is in fact, swimming or jumping up and down or whatever it happens to be.
That's extraordinary.
Moving his head.
Yeah.
Right.
Grateful.
I'm just saying there
to hear about this.
Other things.
Very nice.
Going on.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for bringing that forward. That's that is remarkable. This is a wonderful planet, and when you look at what's being done to it, it just, if you have an ounce of humanity in you, makes you sick. Thank you, George, as always. Major George Filer, Filer's Files, and if you'd like your free subscription or just a trial copy of Filer's Files, just write to George at Major, M-A-J-O-R, star, S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net. Thanks, George. You be well, my friend.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay. Talk to you next time. All right, that's hour number one. We'll be right back with Cliff Mickelson, who is, I believe, down in Mexico or just back from Mexico. And we're going to talk about what's happening to that disintegrating country and culture, and it's not good. Stay tuned, and we will continue in just a couple minutes.